Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, welcome to They Overcame. We are here for God to get the glory out of our lives. God is doing some great and awesome things in the lives of his people. And we just want the world to know just what our God is doing and how much we love him, how much we appreciate the things that he's doing for us. Good morning, babe. How are you?
Good morning, good morning. Just happy and blessed to be here among the land of the living, along with the saints this morning and all those that are tuned in. And just especially happy to be with you again this morning as we just talk about the goodness of God and just hear of his goodness. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're just so honored that God would use us in this capacity to get the glory to him. He deserves it. He's so deserving of it. Babe, why don't you open us up with prayer?
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, and we just say, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your grace, your love, just your awesome power at work in us, for us, and through us. For, Lord, we know that we can do nothing without you. Nothing that we do is of our own accord, but it's you that works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We worship you, Lord God. We extol thy name, for you are worthy. You are honorable. You are just the only wise God. You are the omnipotent God. There is none like you in all of heaven and all of the earth. Hallelujah. We just look to you right now this day to say thank you and to pray your blessings upon this time that we are spending together. To pray your blessings, Lord God, upon every word that is spoken. Let it be anointing, Lord. Let it be anointed for the people of God to just hear of your goodness and to be encouraged by your faithfulness and your power and the testimonies of the saints. Hallelujah. As we just talk about the things that you have done, you have done so much that we can't even tell it all. But Lord God, we just pray that you will let those that need to hear these words of encouragement, let them be encouragement to them. Let them be healing. Let them be hope. Let these words be deliverance in the name of Jesus, whether it be sickness or fear or just circumstances that they think that there is no hope. But Lord God, just let them realize that it is only you that has kept them so far and that you will continue to keep them. And then just, Lord God, let them know that you have blessings for them and just teach us and show us how to reach out and receive what you have for us, because we know that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we shall be delivered. In all these things, hallelujah, you are with us because you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And then, Lord God, just begin to rally your people around those in need, that we will comfort one another with the words of the Lord, that we will encourage one another, that we will build up one another. And then, Lord God, give us the right attitude to put our hands to work and to support one another, to build up one another, and to give, Lord God, to one another those things that we have that they need. In the name of Jesus, let us be family. Let us be community. Let us be that example that you spoke of when you said that like this they will know that you are my disciples, that they have love one to another. Lord God, in the church and among the saints. Let us just begin to love on each other, hallelujah, and let that love just kind of just spew out into the communities where we are. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we thank you for this time. Bless this broadcast today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we are just so happy, like I said, that the Lord is using us in this broadcast. And my praise this morning is, I just thank God that our sons are here, all of our son that lives in South Carolina, our oldest son, Mark, and his family are here. And I've had my grandson, one all weekend, the other one most of the weekend. It's a little much for me because they're young boys and, you know, they want to run and play and constantly. But I just thank God that they're here. I thank God that, you know, we've had this family time together, and God is just so good to allow us to be able to see our grandchildren and to be a part of their lives and to watch them to grow. And we just thank God for just that. We thank God that he's faithful to us. We thank God that he just loves us so much. And, you know, it's just, honey, I was just thinking last week I said how we feel about our children and how we feel about our grandchildren doesn't compare to how God feels about us, how he loves us. And though we don't know the things that he knows, we know in part some of the things that he knows, but we don't know all the things that he knows. And, you know, he's just so grateful. And you can imagine the love that he has for us, even though when we do things wrong, he still loves us. When we do things right, he still loves us. When we honor him, he still loves us. When we don't honor him, he loves us. He loves us. And I'm just so grateful that I know that love. I'm so grateful that I can be a part of that experience and let other people know. And that's why we're here, to let the world know just what God is doing and how much he loves us. And I just praise God. I praise God for this holiday weekend. And we don't have, you know, a lot of people, as I'm looking even on Facebook, there haven't been any posts on. So people are celebrating the holidays and celebrating, you know, Independence Day. But what are you free from? What has God freed you from? Call in and let us know what God has freed you from. And just give him a praise and a testimony.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as you were talking about that, first of all, just talking about our love for our children and our grandchildren and how much more, that can't even compare with the love that God has for us. And as you were saying that, I was thinking how that we as, well, the Bible even talks about even earthly parents who, being evil, know how to give good gifts or give good things to their children, how much more our Heavenly Father. The thing with love, God is love. First of all, God is love. The Bible lets us know that. So perfect love is what comes from God. And so God loves us in a perfect way because he is the epitome, not only the epitome, but the source of love. So he loves us perfectly. Our love for our children sometimes is imperfect, and therefore, because of our imperfect love, we end up with spoiled children, rotten, grandchildren, because we are not always necessarily consistent with the discipline as we should or the attentiveness that we should. But the Bible lets us know that who God loves, he chastens. So when God loves us, he just loves us so perfectly that if we just walk in that love and let it apply to us, that our lives are just such a more awesome life because of walking in his love. And that's just everything that God does is just so far above that what we can do or men and women can do on earth. So, yeah, we love our children. We love our grandchildren. But because of our imperfect love, sometimes we do just see children that are misguided because we think that some parents think that love is just giving gifts all the time and spending money and not necessarily time, spending social time and not necessarily time in instruction and guidance and just teaching and so on and so forth. But we have a God that loves us perfectly. And when we look back over our lives, we can see even all the different twists and turns in our lives. We can often see even the chastening hand of God on us and can appreciate that because now that we are where we are, not that where we're supposed to be, but at least we're not what we used to be because of the loving hand of God that has just brought us so far. And that's just an awesome point you brought out, how much more our Father loves us. And it's just so far above what we can do. But he has put that in us to love each other. And he's commanded us to love each other. He's commanded us to love our children and to bring them up in the way they should go and to nurture them and bring them up in the admonition of the Word and the Lord. And we just thank God for you speaking those words today and just hope that someone does hear and just begins to let the love of God apply to them even through their parenting to bring up the children the way they should go.
Oh, yes. We just, when you think about, you know, I was just thinking about it on this week, how we, like you were saying, how we are imperfect in our love, and sometimes we because we think that we're doing the right thing, we sometimes are not doing the right thing. But God, you know, who is faithful, who loves us beyond measure, is still faithful and loves us perfectly. And so we just thank God for the many blessings. Oh, my goodness. You know, they said that everything that Jesus did could not be contained in a book, that if you were to write everything that he did, that even the world would not be able to contain it. And that's how I feel about, you know, what the Lord has done for us, honey. The Lord has just done so many things. And as our bishop, or my bishop, William Anthony Ellis, to say, just thank God daily. Get up in the morning and thank him. As you go through your day, just thank him. Thank him for the great things that he's doing and has done and will continue to do in our lives. You know, that's the thing that I love about God, is when we are not necessarily doing the things that, you know, he would have us to do, he still loves us. You know, I know in former years, we were held under the tyranny of if we didn't do the right thing, you know, that God didn't love us. It was a teaching that our forefathers, and I don't make light of the things that we were taught formally. They just wanted to, I believe, they just wanted us to be close to God. And some people say it was control. I don't think it was control. In some instances it may have been, but I believe that the things that they did was because they loved the people of God and they wanted them just to be right with God. What do you think about that, babe? You know, you've been in the church, in the womb, you were in the church, and you experienced some of the things that even in my 30-something years of being saved, did not experience. But we have come to a place now, I believe, that I used to say we've thrown the baby out with the wash water because some of the things that we were formerly doing in the church, we're not doing them anymore, and have come into the knowledge that, you know, it's really not necessary for us to do those things. But then have we gone to the extreme? Have we gone to the other side where, you know, some of the things that were done in those times that we need to still be doing some of those things?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I remember one time having a conversation with my former pastor, Bishop Donaldson, and as we talked about just the things of the church and how things had changed. And he made the point that our forefathers, and we were specifically talking about our group of churches, which at that time was the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, the Apostolic Faith Church. And he was saying how that our forefathers probably really meaning no harm, but were doing everything they could to, quote unquote, help God, to, you know, keep us right, you know, help God with us. And by setting up such stringent laws and rules and things that, you know, do's and don'ts of the church, and which was a way that it did make us stand out, and not necessarily in a positive way, but certainly not in a, I won't say a bad way, not an evil way, but probably not the most positive lights, because you know, the Bible says we are a peculiar people, and I think sometimes they wanted to just make sure that we were as peculiar as we could be. And you know, the world's view of peculiar is a person that's peculiar is really just strange and different enough that you don't want to be that thing. Well, Jesus let his disciples know that we're supposed to go into the highways and hedges and compel, or I think a better word for me, I'm not a Bible translator, but that seems a lot like kind of entice men to come, just compel them to come. And I don't know how much compelling you can do successfully being just a stranger, because, you know, strangers, people don't want to be bothered with. Stranger in that a person is just weird or crazy or whatever. But we got our forefathers really kind of wanted to paint, it seemed like they wanted to paint that picture. And so that was, we had to be a walking physical picture of what they define what holiness looked like. But that's really not that much different, if different at all, than what some of the religious sects of the Bible days did, such as the Pharisees, especially the Pharisees. We've got other religious orders like the Sadducees and so on and so forth. But I think the ones that really stand out the most are the Pharisees, because their thing was more physical. This is what you should be. This is the outward show that you should be showing to let us know that you are following the word of God. You know, some of the other groups, they had more just kind of conceptual things or things that you believed. But the Pharisees were just a very physical thing. In fact, we just had, we've been studying Philippians in our series of church sermons. That series was called Beautiful Mind. And in one of the readings that we had, that where I believe this is the third chapter, where Paul warned them, said, "Beware of the dogs," and talking about those that are just promoting and teaching these false doctrines of just outward appearance of holiness. And he called them flesh eaters, because they put so much emphasis on the physical, or flesh eaters or mutilators, actually flesh mutilators of the flesh, and because they put so much emphasis on that physical circumcision, like, if you're not physically circumcised, then we don't even have a common ground to stand on. So he called them mutilators of the flesh, because they just tried to put the fear of everybody that the first thing you got to do is be circumcised. First thing you got to do is have some of your flesh mutilated. But Paul said, we are the circumcision, not that cutting away of that physical flesh, but there's another passage in the scripture that talks about the circumcision of our heart. So by cutting away the flesh in our daily walk, that's the real circumcision. We who have a pure heart, that have the mind of Christ, that's the real circumcision. So it's not a physical appearance type thing. It's not, you know, where you go and don't go. It's not what you do and don't do, what you drink and don't drink, what you wear and don't wear. But it's, how's your attitude? Are you really walking in and showing the love of Christ? So, yeah, our forefathers meant no harm, I don't believe, but we fortunately have grown to know that it's about the heart and the mind. So, I agree with you, and that's just my take on that. That's not the gospel according to me, because I don't have one of the books of the Bible, but what I have learned and read and heard of the Bible, I know that there is a higher path for us to walk than just what our shoes look like and what the style of our clothes and the way we wear our hair and whether we are made up or not. Just kind of a funny, and then I'm a give up the mic, but I just remember years ago listening to a television broadcast as I was getting ready for church, and one of the ministers, I can't remember who it was, it might have been, I'm thinking maybe John Hagee, you know, back in his younger days, but whoever it was, they talked about how the church at that time, and this would have been like back in the 70s, said, so some of you, the churches say it's a sin to wear makeup. And then he said, but you know what? it's probably more of a sin for some of you all not to wear makeup. And the point was is that that's just such a physical thing, and that we should be more concerned about what's in our heart, what's in our mind, how we treat and entreat people, because those are the instructions that Jesus made.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, babe, which is we got caught up in some things, our forefathers got caught up in some things. I believe it was because of the lack of understanding or, you know, just as you grow, as the church was in the infancy state, we're still not that far from being infants, but we are, you know, going into adolescence. And when the Bible says, when you find the truth, and I'm paraphrasing, then walk in it. And so that's what the church is doing. And still some people still don't understand that I am a follower of Joseph Prince, and I just, his ministry is just so awesome to me, because he talks about grace, and he doesn't just talk about grace at the point of, you know, just grace. He talks about the abundancy of grace, and he talks about grace being an ocean. We've made it a pond, you know, where not too many people can get in, but he talks about grace being an abundance, and how, you know, if God wants us to live his ministry. Joseph Prince's ministry is awesome. And then I also love, grew up in the church on the Copeland ministry and their grace and talking about grace. And we've mistaken grace, or the pastors and preachers, I believe, in their teaching, have drawn us away from grace, fearing that if we knew grace, then we wouldn't really be saved, because it would give us a license to do whatever we would want to do. But I remember one year we were at one of our annual conventions, and my late pastor, Robert Baguette, I can see his smiling face now, was just a gracious man. I mean, if there was an expression of God's grace, Elder Baguette was that example. And one of the ministers was talking to a girlfriend of ours, and he asked us, you know, where we were from. We told him we were from Chicago, and they asked us what church we went to, and we told him we went to, you know, the Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park. And he said, your pastor is that pastor that smiles all the time. And we were like, yeah, that's our pastor. And he said, well, how does he, you know, keep you in line? How does he, you know, he don't look like he would, you know, bring an iron hand down, you know, if people did wrong. And it just came out of me, you know, he loves us. He loves us through the things that we go through. He loves us. And that's what God does. And that was his expression. Jesus was his expression of love that he had for us. He came down here and he walked with us. He made himself he had a reputation, but he didn't make a reputation. You know, he didn't go around boasting. And he just did the things that he said that the Father told him to do. And because of those things, we now have what United States calls independence. We have independence from the tyranny of our enemy of our soul. So I just thank God for this way of being able to you know, find this way and accept this way, because a lot of people hear about it and, you know, because of the things that have happened in the church, they have chosen not to, you know, not to follow Christ. But I thank God that, you know, God touched my heart, and that out of the millions of people, I love that song, out of the millions of people, you know, I found the light, and I'm walking in the light. Not always, you know, perfect, not always doing everything that I'm supposed to do, and doing some things that I'm not supposed to do, I'm sure. But, you know, because of God's grace and because of his love, I don't have to fear, you know, where I will be going when this phase of my life is over. So I just thank God for that. And I am going to play, I love this song by Michael Stapley. It's a song, actually, it's a song that could be one of our theme songs. It's called Overcome. And I just want you to enjoy that this morning.
Yeah. your blood. We declare we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Declare it today.
I am whatever you need me to be. And so this was so appropriate for me at this time. And the title is Trusting God Through Emotional Trials. And this is from Joyce Meyer's dedication, that devotion that I do in the morning. And it says, growing into a mature Christian who follows the Holy Spirit is not something that happens overnight. It is a learning process that takes time. Little by little, one experience after another, God tries and tests our emotions, giving us opportunity to grow. How many times do we go through things and we don't look at them? I know that I haven't always looked at them as a growing experience. You know, they, you know, when we go through the different tests and trials, we don't look at them as something for our good, because nobody wants to go through a test and nobody wants to go through a trial. So it's a hard thing for us. But this devotion, like I said, because we're dealing with some things right now with one of our sons, and it's an experience that we don't want to go through. It's teaching us. I have come to discover that with everything that we go through, it God is showing himself faithful to us, showing, you know, I have you, I've got your back. I'm not going to let this thing overtake you, you know. And that's growth, because I know at one time it was just, I would just get in the bed when I was younger, if I had an insurance, just get in the bed and go to sleep. I didn't want to deal with it, you know. But then as you get older, you know, those are my teenage years, as you get older, there are some things that you just can't sweep away. And but every experience is to bring us to the knowledge of God and to the knowledge of his love for us and how he loves us and how he, you know, will see us through situations. Even when they don't turn out the way that you would want them to turn out, God is in control. That's my motto for this year. God is in control. So it says, God allows us to go through difficult situations that stir up our emotions. In this way, you and I are able to see ourselves, how emotionally unstable we can be, and how desperately we need his help. Jesus emphasizes this for us. The night before he died for our sins, he was in great emotional turmoil. He didn't want to die, but he moved past his emotions and prayed to God, "Not my will, but yours be done." Things certainly didn't get better immediately, but in the end, Jesus emerged victorious through the greatest trial possible. You can make it through your emotional trials. Jesus wasn't led by his feelings, and you don't have to be either. When God lets things affect you emotionally, seize the moment and view it as an opportunity to step into a place of absolute trust in God. Hallelujah. In every situation, we know, as we've been talking about the love of God, how much he loves us and how, you know, he like our children. We sometimes, you know, especially after they become of age, or as they grow and mature and become adults, you know, I know that I have had a problem with this, being a mother that was very much in the, you know, in growing up our children and leading them and guiding them. I sometimes look back and say, You know, maybe I was just too much, you know, I didn't let them make decisions. I got to the point where I started letting them make, as teenagers, make some decisions. I remember one, honey, that when I went to that parenting class, I was, the boys were young and they were rambunctious. Oh, my goodness, three little boys at the same time and then a teenager. So, you know, I was like pulled, you know, on every hand. And I went to this parenting class, and in the parenting class, you know, they were saying that, you know, give up, as your children grow, give up some of that control. Let them experience something that will help to mold them into the character that they're going to be, so that they'll learn how to make decisions. So this was not a hard one for me to give up, but the class, they were saying, like, if your kids don't want to put their coat on in the wintertime, or don't want to wrap up the way that you've wrapped them up when they were young, when they were, you know, needed your help, then let them, and let them suffer the consequences of, you know, their actions. So if they don't want to wear a coat and they catch a cold, then, you know, not that you shouldn't take care of them, but, you know, don't coddle them. Let them, this is okay. You know, you should have put on a coat. I told you, I suggested that you put on a coat. But since you didn't put on a coat, this is what you're going to have to suffer. So, you know, here's your medication. I'm going to give you your medication, but I'm not going to coddle you. And so when we moved to, we lived in Chicago, and our first move was to Georgia. We lived in the Atlanta area. And the boys would not wear a coat. I mean, going from, you know, the sub-zero temperatures that we had in Illinois to, you know, maybe 30 or 40 degrees in the morning. But by the time they got out of school, it was maybe like 60 or 70. And they just did not want to wear coats. So that was a stretch for me. That was a stretch for me. But, you know, I let them do their thing. They didn't wear coats, and they would say, no, Mom, we don't want to wear a coat, because if we wear a coat and by the time we get out of school and it's hot and we don't have the coat on, and we might lose it, and then you're going to fuss at us, and we don't want you fussing at us. We don't want you fussing at us, so we're, you know, please. So I stepped back, and that's what God does with us. Don't you think, babe, we get warnings and, you know, things that we should be weary of, but in our mind we can handle it. This is nothing. So we just do our thing. And God gives us, he lets us grow emotionally. We have to let the boys grow, you know, and I don't think any of them ever caught a cold. And anyway, you don't catch a cold from the cold. You catch a cold from your immune system being low and encountering germs. And that's how we get sick. We don't get sick because it's cold outside. But anyway, that's what God does. He lets us go through emotional trials so that we can discover, you know, the love that God has for us, and that we can trust him. We can trust him when we can say, here, Lord, I'm giving this to you, and I'm not taking it back. I want to, you know, I want to trust you more. And we say those prayers. We pray those prayers. I know I've prayed those prayers. Lord, I want to trust you more. But how do we trust him? We trust him by going through something. and it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but, you know, that's how we grow in the knowledge of God, when we go through the things. And that's how we get our testimonies, when we go through the test. And that's how we learn, you know, the extent of God's hand over our lives when we, you know, go through the various things that we go through.
As you were saying that, I can remember even hearing and thinking, and even as the scripture doesn't say it specifically, but we know when we talk about being tested, the tests and the trials that we go through, you're saying that as God sometimes steps back, he lets us discover some things. And some of those things we discover are about him, and that we can trust him, that he's faithful. Some of the things that we discover are about us. You know, the word lets us know that we're not tempted of him, but sometime he does set us up or allow us to go through tests as well as some temptations. But when we're tested, I've heard people talk about how that God tested them to see, or they even talked about some of the Old Testament characters that we knew, how that God tested them first before he gave them whatever authority or whatever assignment or whatever anointing that he was giving them. But God knows our hearts. God knows who you are. He's numbered the very hairs on your head. He knows every little intricate thing about each of us. So when we are tested, it's not for him to see how we will react, because he already knows. He knows the beginning from the end, and that is the word of God. But when we are tested, we learn about us. God doesn't learn about how we'll react. We learn about how we'll react. And sometime God will just kind of let us go through some things and show us that, okay, this is where you are. You know, I know where you think you were, but here's the, you know, now that you've gone through this test, here's where you are. So when we realize that, then we just know more and more of our need to change some things, more and more of our need for him. So it's just so, I guess, so much wisdom, so much insight that God has for us. He knows all about us. So when we go through those tests, we learn something about us. God already knew how we would react, and he's already got his plan in action, so that when we react the right way, sometimes that's just to let people around us see where we are in God. When we don't react the right way, that's not necessarily for the people around us, but that's for us to see. And when we do react the wrong way, or things go badly because of the test that we don't go through right, God's already got your way out. He already knew you were going to fail in that thing, and he's got something in place to just restore you and encourage you and to nurture you back to where you should be. And then we grow from that point based upon that test. So, you know, just another example of that perfect love and that perfect parenting from our perfect Heavenly Father. It's just, when we think about how good God is, it really is just mind-blowing. How that he just takes care. I mean, we look at David. David had situations, well, not only David, but his sons, even Solomon, David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. Each of them had some serious issues, failed some serious tests, but God's anointing was on them, and God took care of them even with that. We're no different than that. God loves us as much. He cares as much about us. And then when we fall, he'll lift us up. The Bible lets us know that, even in, and I'm not quoting this quite right, the words aren't quite coming to me, but how that in six trials, how we'll go through the six, and then the seventh failure, he still won't forsake us. So he's just with us. He loves us. He cares for us. And that's just the amazing thing about God. And that's why I love him so much, because he loves me so much. And I know what kind of person I am. And if he can love me like I am, I can't help but love him.
Yes, yes. And so then she ends it always with a prayer starter. She gets you started on your prayer. And, and her prayer says, she says, Lord, I always say Father. I know that I can trust in you when emotional trials come my way. With Jesus as my example, I say, not my will, but yours be done. You know what's best for me, and I trust you completely. We have to get to the place where we know. I don't, despite what's been taught, despite, your background, your Christian background, and the things that we've been over the years taught, God loves us, and he only wants what's best for us. And he's not standing up, in heaven with a yardstick waiting for us to do something wrong so that he can beat us with it. He said, okay, get back up. I'm here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If anyone would forsake us, it would be a time where we've done something that is against them or irritates them or, hurts them. But God says, I love you with an everlasting love. And he said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Hallelujah. So he's there. He's there for us, and he loves us, and not to make it so that we feel like, that we can just do whatever we want to do. Of course, we can't just do whatever we want to do. We have to be guided. We have to be, doing the right thing. But even if we don't, even if we make a mistake, God is there and he loves us. And we can trust him. We can trust him to love us. So I just thank God for that. And I thank God for the broadcast this morning. We didn't have a guest for this morning, and we didn't have any callers to call in. But still, we're here. And we're going to be here every Saturday just to lift up the name of Jesus, just to let the world know how much he loves us and the things that he is doing for us. And we just want to say we thank the Lord for Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, and we request that you hold her up in prayer. She is getting a citywide crusade. She's working on getting a citywide crusade that she's going to be doing in New Orleans. She's gone back home. God has given her an assignment to go back home. She's testified. It's been a great place of contention for her. She lost two children there. One was murdered, and one is in prison there. And she left there, I would assume, leaving to get away from, you know, when you get, when you're around a familiar area and it's been a place of contention or it's been a place of pain and you just want to get away from it. But God brought her back and told her that he was going to she's going to be an example for him there, even though it's a place that has caused her a lot of pain. He's going to use her, you know, to draw men and women to him, because when you can, when God can use you to say, look at my child, like he did with Job, babe, like he did with Job. He said, look at, have you considered my servant Job? And so that's what he's doing with Evangelist Bernard. So just remember her in prayer and join her every day. She's on the same number, 858-683-1334, every day at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, or 4 o'clock Eastern time. And she is the host of New Destiny Ministries, and she has men and women of God that come on and preach and teach and prophesy. So, you know, if you get a chance, join her daily from Monday through Friday. And then, of course, every Saturday, We Overcame. They Overcame is on the broadcast at 5 a.m. Those are p.m. Evangelist Bernard is on it in the p.m., and we're on in the a.m., and it's wee hours of the morning in the Pacific time. It's 5 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Central time, and 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we're here every day, every Saturday, giving God the praise and the honor that is due his name. And we just are so thankful. You know, if we just have to get on and we just have to talk and expound and give what the Lord has given for us to give to you, then that's what we do. But we would love for you to come on and give your praise and let the world know what God is doing in your life and the things that he's doing in the lives of your family. And no testimony is too small. No testimony is too big. Just come on and give God the praise. And if you choose not to come on and give the praise to God, then send us, email your testimony to us. We will read your testimony over the air, and God gets the glory out of that also. And our email address is theyovercame2012. We've been here for almost 2 years. theyovercame2012@gmail.com. So send your testimonies in. We prefer for you to call in and give them. But if you choose not, just let the world know still what God is doing in your life. So we love you. And, hon, you want to end us with prayer. Thank you, babe, for being with me this morning. We were out watching the fireworks last night and then came home. And, you know, of course, with the sun being all together, we're here. And we were up kind of late last night. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory. So my husband woke me up this morning. I usually wake up, but kind of late last night. So anyway, you want to end us with prayer, and if anything else that you have to say?
Amen. I'll end us. Also, as you mentioned, we were out watching the fireworks last night, and I guess a few remarks in closing about that. As we stood there last night, actually we got there early, typically when my wife loves fireworks, so often on the 4th of July or Independence Day, I like to refer to it more, or whenever there's going to be some fireworks. Usually that's, you know, later because it has to be dark. I guess I've gotten to the point sometime where by that time I'm really ready to kind of be home, but knowing that there's fireworks, we just know we're going to see fireworks. So, but last night, and we usually get there kind of just in time to finally maybe find a good spot to see, but not up close. But the last couple of years we've done a much better job of that. And last night, as we were standing there, there were a lot of festivities going on. There was music. There was a lot of displays. A lot of people just having a great time, and we were enjoying right along with them, us and our sons and our grandsons, and it was just a great occasion. But as the fireworks started, and I looked up in the sky, you know, there were the light, the fireworks displays. There were the loud explosions. There were the smaller sounds, like the rat-tat-tat sounds, and then the big booms. And as I was thinking, what we're looking at is our celebration of Independence Day, this nation's independence. And I haven't done research on this, but, you know, common sense just kind of tells me that the fireworks really represent the sounds of war, because we are free because of the battle that was fought and won. There were the explosions of the bombs. There were the sounds, the rat-tat-tat sounds, the sounds of, like, gunfire. And we know that those were all the things that were going on as our forefathers and as those who fought for the freedom of this nation sacrificed their life. They went through this. All of them weren't killed in battle. They're all gone now. But many of them were killed in battle. And we just commemorate that time because men and women gave their lives. At that time, it was more men. But men and women gave their lives so that this country could be free. And now Independence Day is a big deal. We were talking about how that in Chicago, my wife was speaking with her cousin who said that the mayor there has done away with the fireworks. And I'm sure it's because of the part of it is because of the expense of it. I wonder how much money was spent on those fireworks, because there were a lot. We watched about 20 minutes of just constant fireworks. There are places that have much longer displays than that, and they're very expensive. But it's a big deal that cities are willing to spend that money in commemoration, because our independence is a big deal. I don't know if everyone had that attitude as they looked, but I heard the explosions. I heard what sounded like would have been gunshots. Said those represent people dying. People died so that we could have this freedom. And now we are here celebrating this. A similar thing, but on a much more grand scale, but that we don't give the proper recognition for, I don't think, is our independence as children of God, as people of God, because Jesus, one man, died that we could be free. Last night we celebrated the sacrificing of the lives of mortal men that laid down their lives for our freedom. But Jesus laid down his life that we could be free from death, free from sin, free from everything that is not like Christ, free to know that when this life is over, we shall inherit eternal life and live with God forever. That's a big deal. That's even a bigger deal than what we celebrated last night. And at our church, every Sunday, we celebrate communion. The Lord said, when you do this in remembrance of me. And then Paul, in one of his writings to the Corinthian church, he talked about how that the Lord that night, he broke bread and he shared with his disciples what we know as the Last Supper, and that we are to do the same thing, break bread and take the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood, the bread that represents his body that was broken for us and killed for us. And we, in remembrance of what he did, should do that. But he goes on to say that we need to examine ourselves as we do that so that we're not taking that, I think the word he used was drinking and eating damnation to ourselves by taking it unworthily. And we used to think back to the old days, the teaching of the church, that that meant that if we did anything, you know, that day, that week, or from the last time that we took communion, we took a reflection of all basically the sins that we had committed, and then we're supposed to make a determination, you know, do I take communion or do I not, because I don't want to do it unworthily, or then we make it a point to confess our sins. But when we examine ourselves, basically we're examining, are we really doing this in remembrance of Jesus? Are we taking good inventory of how blessed we are because he died for us? And I just want to admonish everyone, wherever you attend your churches, when that time comes, that communion service is not just a part of a service that goes on, whether it's the first Sunday. We used to do it back at home on the first Friday of the month. However you do it, it's not just something to do passively. It's not like just another part of the service. But consider that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life that you could be free. We have an even greater independence than these United States, than being a citizen of these United States. But we are free from the curse of the law. We are free from the curse of sin. We are free to live for God. We are free to live eternal life when this life is over. And so many other freedoms that Jesus laid down his life for. By his stripes, we are healed. We are free from sickness. We are free from worry. We are free from even debt, because my God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. We are free from need. We are free from want. Our independence is a big deal, and we should just, whenever we get an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, make sure that we think about all that he did for us, and that all that we owe to him, even though it's a debt we cannot pay, because Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. But we have this liberty in Christ Jesus because he laid down his life for us. It's a bigger deal than what there were probably, I don't know, several tens of thousands, if not maybe 100,000 or so people down there last night. And all over this country, the same kinds of celebrations were going on throughout the weekend. But a bigger deal than that is our freedom, our liberty in Christ Jesus. And I just admonish everyone to make sure that as often as you take the Lord's Supper, drink of the fruit of the vine and breaking the bread, which represents his blood shed and his body that was broken, let's remember him in doing that and just offer up praise, thanksgiving, worship, and just a life of sharing his love. That's how we do it in remembrance of him. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We are free to live for you. We are free from the clutches of death. We are free from the curse of the law and of sin. We are free, Lord God, to love one another. We are free to worship you. And we just thank you for this, Lord, because you did it for us and you're doing it in us every day. Lord, as we end this broadcast, we just pray that you will be in the hearts, the minds, the spirit, and the body of people everywhere. Lord God, cause them to remember you, cause them to turn to you, cause them to seek you, for we know that if we seek you, we'll find you, that if we will ask, that you will answer, that if we knock, the door will be open. If we seek you, we find you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, just be with your people today. Encourage someone, Lord God, through these words to just draw close to you, because we know your word said if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us, just like with the prodigal son as he returned home, as he drew near to that home, the father came running out to meet him. So every step that he took toward you, that was doubled because you were moving. It was more than double because you move even greater than we. Hallelujah. So every time we look to you, Lord God, you have our ear. We have your ear. We have your attention. We have your heart. And God, just bless us to know that we can turn to you always. When things are up, when things are down, cause us to just ever look to you. In times of trouble, to seek you. In times of things going good, to praise you and worship you and testify of your goodness. We just pray, Lord God, for everyone listening, everyone that will listen. We pray for the hosts of this broadcast, my wife, Lord God, Evangelist Bernard, Lord God, as they do your work through this internet radio ministry. Let it go across the world and just stir up souls to turn to you, to work for you, to praise you. And Lord God, we know that we already have been and will be blessed by you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. And we just offer you praise as we end and say amen and amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, babe, for that great prayer. We just thank God for this day. Thank God for all that he's doing. And I want, even though she's not on, I want to send a happy birthday wish to Ann Page. She is one of my friends here in North Carolina. And we just pray God's choice blessings on her this day and that God will make this the best year yet in her life. In Jesus' name. We thank you for joining us, however you're joining us over the internet, or if you will go back into the archives and listen to it. We just thank you, and we know that this is going to be a blessing for somebody, and we just thank God, thank God. And until next week, we just want to praise Him.
I just want to praise
forever, come on.
Forever.